Well, glory to God. Amen. All right. Y'all aren't ready to go home yet, right? Y'all are not in too much of a hurry to get to the restaurant? No, we're good? Praise God. All right. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 14. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray before we get started here. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together as family, as the family of God, the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it brings light and life to us. Thank you that it is life-giving and life-changing for all those who choose to believe it and act on it and apply it to their everyday life. Father, we thank you that day by day we're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by your Holy Spirit leading and guiding and instructing us into all truth. So, Father, we thank you again for this day and this opportunity to enter into your word by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." Somebody say, "I know him." I know him. "For he dwells with you and will be in you." In you. You know, when I was in Bible school at Rhema, I made it a point to always go to prayer school. You know, we had regular classes, which was, you know, like 3 hours long, and then after that, we would have prayer school and healing school, and I always made the effort to go to prayer school after. And a lady by the name of Leanne Soseby, Miss Leanne, she was the instructor of prayer school. And it seemed like every time we got in there, every time she got up, she quoted this scripture and she made us say, "But you know him." And it became one of my favorite scriptures. I know him. I know the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you know him this morning. I believe that her and her husband Jerry pastor a church in Rockwall, Texas these days, Momentum Church. I was just looking stuff up about her recently, but I'm so grateful for that opportunity to be under that teaching and to be told, "Hey, you know him. You know the Spirit of God." Amen? And so it's in this scripture and through this verse that I feel like we learn about a term that I'm going to talk about a lot this morning is proximity. Amen? Proximity. There's something powerful about proximity. Nearness, closeness. Amen? You can be close to something and never understand just exactly what you have access to. You can stand next to power and never experience its potential. Amen? You can sit in a room where the power of God is present and leave no different because you never engage with what's available in the room. See, proximity creates possibility, right? Think about electricity. You don't have to understand every principle of electricity to turn a light on. You don't have to understand protons and electrons and circuits and voltage and current and resistance. Right, Mr. Terry? But you just have to be connected. Amen? You just have to be connected to the power source. And there are believers I know who are living beneath the reality of what they have been connected to. You can walk into a room where a fire is burning and say, "Hey, there's a fire in here." Right? There's evidence of a fire being in the room. That's true. The fire is present. But you can sit 20 feet away from the fire and not feel the effects of it. Right? You can sit over in the corner and remain cold. The fire hasn't changed. The fire is burning. The fire is producing heat. But your proximity to the fire determines how much of that heat you experience. Amen? And you can move closer. And you can stretch your hands out toward it. And you can sit beside it. And the closer you get to it, the more you experience what was already there. Amen? The fire didn't move. You did. And I believe that there's a word for the church today, because there are many times that Christians are praying, God, come closer. But God is saying, hey, I already come close, right? I've already come close. Now you come closer. There's a dimension where God does come near to us, right? But there's another dimension of it where we come near to Him. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Amen? That's the invitation this morning, is to draw near. Draw nigh unto God. Amen? Because the Christian life that we live is not simply about God coming closer to us and God's proximity to us, but our proximity to Him. And I believe that's what makes John 14 so powerful, is because there's a difference between having God with you and having God in you. Amen? Jesus Himself gives us this distinction. He will dwell with you and He shall be in you. With, in. Two little words, but they represent a massive transition in redemptive history. Amen? Because you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you can see God continually moving closer to humanity. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 3, it says that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The first picture that we get from Scripture, it gives us God relating to humanity. It's not God sitting far away. It's not God at this distance. God is walking among them. Yes. Humanity was created for this nearness and this closeness to God. We were created to know God, amen, to walk with God, to hear His voice, to live in His presence. But then sin is introduced, and sin disrupts this flow. Amen? See, we all know the story, right? They're in the garden, the serpent comes, deceives them, they eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and immediately they are aware of their nakedness, of their shame, of their sin, of their separation from God. Amen? How do we know that it's immediate? Because Adam's like, I gotta hide, right? I'm naked. But God says what? Where are you? Where are you? See, God wasn't asking for Adam's location. He knew that something had changed. God was exposing what sin had already done to the relationship. Because before, God didn't have to say, hey, Adam, where you at? I want to hang out with you. No, there was already a connection, right? But then sin disrupts that and separates man from God. Humanity had been created for God's presence, but sin introduced distance. Amen? But God didn't leave us in the distance. That's the beautiful thing. And that's the story of the gospel, amen? That God didn't leave us in the distance. He began moving toward us. We see that He calls Abraham and He makes covenant with Abraham, amen? He establishes this relationship with man again. And then we see Him deliver the people out of Israel through Moses, calling His people back unto Himself, amen? And Exodus 25:8 says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God gives Moses the concept of the tabernacle. And the literal word for tabernacle is dwelling place. Amen? Tabernacle and dwelling are interchangeable. And He lays out these specific parameters for the tabernacle. There's the outer court. There's the holy place. There's the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies. There's the mercy seat. And God is saying, I want to dwell in the midst of my people. But notice something. He is close to the people. But what still stands in the way? There's a veil. There's a veil separating the presence of God from the rest of humanity. There's restricted access. There's a priesthood put into place. There has to be sacrifices that are made. There's distance. God is near, but God is not yet in, right? And sometimes we read the Old Testament, at least I do, and I think, man, I wish I could have experienced those things. Man, I wish I could have been there at the parting of the Red Sea. I wish I could have been there and seen the chariots of fire with Elijah. I wish I could have seen these things and been in these places. But can I tell you something? You have something that they were waiting for. Amen? You have something available to you. They experienced God's presence among them, but you have God's presence within you. Amen? Look at Samson. We see all of these times. In Judges 14:6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Gideon, in Judges 6:34, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Saul, King Saul, in 1 Samuel 11:6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And then David, in 1 Samuel 16:3, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And on and on and on, we see the Spirit of God come upon people, and we see the Spirit of God empower people, and we see the Spirit of God speak through people and equip people. But then Jesus announces something far greater in John chapter 14. He will dwell with you, but He will be in you. With and in. That is the difference. Amen? That is the difference. In Hebrews chapter 11, we hear all about these great heroes of faith, right? We hear about Abraham and Moses and David and the prophets and all of these people who lived by faith. And then we read in Hebrews 11, verse 13, that these, having all died in faith, not receiving the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them. They embraced them. They confessed them. Then it says in verses 39 and 40, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided a better thing for us. They received a good report. They believed. They endured. They trusted, right? But they did not receive the fullness of what was promised. God provided something better for us. We have a better covenant built on better promises. Amen? Not because we're better than them, right? Not because of anything that we've done. It's just because we're living on this side of Christ's finished work. Amen? See, they were living on this side, looking forward to the cross. We get to live on the other side, looking back, saying, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the cross. Amen? And he says in Matthew 13, 17, for verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. The prophets wanted what you are experiencing right now. Generations waited for what we know now. They looked forward. We look back. Amen? They waited for the Holy Spirit to be poured out at the day of Pentecost. We live on this side having already received the promise. Hallelujah. They experienced the Spirit coming upon them, but we get the Spirit of God indwelling us. We have God in us. Amen? Don't miss this, guys. Don't miss the privilege of your covenant with God. That we have the very Spirit of the Almighty living on the inside of us. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Y'all with me? Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 8. Starting in starting with verse number 1. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to take the tabernacle, for he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.'" But listen to this. "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." John chapter 1 verse 14 says that the Word was made flesh and he dwelt among us. Again, the word dwell is the idea of the tabernacle. Amen? John is telling us something here, that God once dwelled among Israel in a tent, in the tabernacle. But now he puts on flesh and dwells among humanity. Jesus became the human tabernacle. He put on flesh and he came and he dwelt among them. Says that God is here. God is here in the flesh. The tabernacle, we know, contained the glory, right? It contained the glory, the Holy of Holies. And Jesus goes on to tell his disciples something that is pretty shocking, right? Imagine being the disciples. John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." The presence of God came to earth in the flesh. Jesus was there, and he's telling the disciples, "It's better for you that I leave." What? Jesus, we've seen you heal. We've seen you deliver. We've seen you multiply fish and bread. We've seen you do all of these many miracles. And now you're saying it's better that I go? Why? Because Jesus could be with them, but the Holy Spirit could be in them. Amen? Jesus could walk with the 12, but the Holy Spirit could fill thousands upon thousands upon thousands. See, it's one thing for Jesus to be physically present in the room, but it's another thing for the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in every believer. Amen? See, Jesus, in this moment, Jesus wasn't telling them, "I'm abandoning you. I'm leaving and I'm never coming back." It's like, "Jesus, what did we do?" Right? No, he's preparing them. For what? For greater proximity. Amen? Because now I'll not only be with you, but I will be in you. Matthew 27:51 says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom." When Jesus went to the cross. Now see, the cross changed our access. Did you hear what I said? Because of the cross, our access changed. Before, we had limited access, and we had to go through all of these things just for one man to get in the presence of God, for all men. But now it says that when Jesus died on the cross, when he breathed his last breath, said that the earth quaked and that the veil in the temple was torn in two completely from top to bottom. God opened a way. for us to get to Him. Because for generations, that veil was almost a picture saying, keep out, right? Keep out. Anybody, when you were younger, ever have a sign on your bedroom door, no girls allowed or no boys allowed? It was like this big sign saying, keep out. But Jesus' death says, come in.
Yeah.
Amen? Come in. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest, by what? By the blood of Jesus. It's only through Him. Amen? See, Jesus, He didn't die just so you could visit with God's presence. He died so that God's presence could inhabit you. Amen? Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Think about that. The old covenant, God had this temple, they constructed this temple, but now in the new covenant, He says, you are the temple. Every believer, God moved from a place to a people. Amen? He moved from a building to a body. He moved from among us to within us. His proximity changed. And then Acts 2, we won't read this, but in Acts 2, we see the day of Pentecost. They were all gathered together in the upper room, right? About 120 of them. And it says that suddenly there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire came upon all of them, and it said that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All. Amen? This wasn't just the apostles, right? This wasn't just the women who had been with Jesus. This wasn't just Mary, the mother of Jesus. It says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter gives this message. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. The promise that had been made all those years ago has been fulfilled today. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that Jesus talked about, it has arrived. It has been fulfilled. And the Spirit is being poured out on all His people. God is filling His people. Under the old covenant, God's presence was associated with particular places, right? The tabernacle and the temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus changes everything. Jesus flips the paradigm on its head and He says, now the presence goes with you. You don't leave God's presence when you leave church. You carry the presence. Right? We're not coming into this house of worship to meet with the presence of God. You bring the presence of God with you. And then collectively, we tap into something. Amen? But the presence isn't in the room. The presence is in you. Amen? You carry the presence. You carry the presence into your home, into your workplace, into your school, into your community, into your conversations. You bring the presence. Amen? See, then proximity, it doesn't mean anything anymore because it becomes portable. It's literally on the inside of you. You carry the presence of God with you everywhere you go. But here's where we need to take it a step further. Because the presence is always near. The presence is within us. Why does James tell us to draw near? Why does he tell us that we need to draw near? There is a difference between his presence being near you and in you and you being consciously aware of it. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See, God made the first move. But he invites us to respond. This is how relationship works. You understand that, right? Any married folk in here that you understand if you're the only one pursuing, or if they're the only one pursuing, heard somebody say that marriage is not a 50-50 commitment, right? It's 100-100 and coming together, right? Well, that's what God is asking for, because He gave 100% for you. Amen? He gave His best. He gave His only for you. Relationship is 100-100. Draw near to Him. Draw close to Him, because that is relationship. God comes near, we come near. God speaks, we listen. God invites, we respond. Amen? God reveals Himself, and we pursue Him. See, God has made Himself available to us. We just have to acknowledge His presence in our lives. Back to the fire that we talked about earlier, right? There's a fire in the room. You can be in the same room with the fire and still be cold. The fire's burning, the room is warm, but you're sitting across the room wrapped up in a blanket complaining. It's cold in here. Why am I cold? That fire's not hot enough. But then somebody says, hey, move closer, right? Move closer. Because the fire didn't need to be hotter. You needed to get closer. And that's the picture this morning. The presence of God is not insufficient. Maybe we've become complacent. God's presence is not somehow less glorious than it was back then. Maybe we've become more distracted by the cares of this life. The Spirit of God has not stopped speaking. Maybe life has become too noisy. God hasn't moved away, church. Many times we've just become too busy to notice Him. So maybe this morning we don't need to ask God to come closer. Maybe our prayer needs to be, Father, make us more aware of You. Make me more sensitive to Your Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to put the phone down. Maybe we need to turn off the TV. Maybe we need to open the Bible. Get alone with God. Draw near, like James said. Because there is such power in our proximity to Him. Amen? Amen? Now, we have to kind of hold two truths together, right? Because we've already talked about God being in us. We know that He's already in us, and yet we still have to pursue Him. So these two truths hold together. We don't pursue Him because He's far away. We pursue Him because we want to know Him more deeply. Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. Right? That I may know Him. Why? Paul already knows Jesus. I mean, wasn't it enough for him to knock him off the back of the horse and blind him and all those things, right? He knows Jesus. He's encountered Jesus. But why does he say that I may know Him? Because he wants to know Him more. There is so much more to know. You will never know Him fully. And yet you are fully known by Him. You can know someone all your life and still get to know them more. Still know them in a deeper way. You can be married for, y'all just celebrated your 52nd. Wedding anniversary? You can be married for 52 years. But Pastor Mark is still getting to know Miss Margaret. Amen? See, you can continue to discover things. I never want to stop discovering my wife. Amen? I want to continue to get to know her. I want to continue to experience Jesus in a new way. You can belong to Him while continually growing in your knowledge of Him. Because salvation, right? The cross created access. It tore the veil. So salvation gives us access. It gives us relationship. But pursuit is what develops intimacy. Pursuing Him. Acts 4:13 says they took knowledge of them. Those were that were around them, they took knowledge of them, seeing that they had been with Jesus. They could tell, right? Something about Peter and John gave away their proximity. Amen? They could tell that they had been with Jesus. And here's the new covenant reality that we have to hang on to, is they had Jesus with them, right? And then they had the Holy Spirit in them. Right? You have the Holy Spirit in you. So if proximity to Jesus, being with Jesus, changed Peter and John when Jesus was physically beside them, what should the indwelling Spirit do in us? How many people are saying, man, I could tell that they've been with the Holy Spirit today. I can tell, I can see the Holy Spirit in them. They spent time with Jesus today. It should change things, right? It should change our speech. It should change our attitudes. It should change our character. It should change our desires. Something ought to look different when the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. What did Jesus say in Luke 6:45? He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? This is some of the stuff that Pastor Mark has been talking about. What's inside will eventually come out. Pressure reveals what's inside of you. Conflict reveals what's inside of you. Disappointment reveals what's on the inside of you. And that's why the Christian life is not simply behavior modification. Right? That's why it has to be more than that. Because God is not telling you to try harder. God is not telling you, be a better person. No, He's saying, let me transform you from the inside out. Amen? Let me prune you so that you may bear more fruit. Right? And then that's what we see in Galatians 5, right? Galatians 5 calls it the fruit of the Spirit. When you've been in the presence, it should change your character. You're no longer angry and bitter and... No, what do you have on? I've got love. I've got joy. I've got peace. I've got patience. I've got kindness. I've got goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. I've got self-control. Right? Because when the presence gets in you... When the presence of God is in you, eventually the presence of God should get through you. Amen? Because here's where we have to be careful. You can be geographically close, but you can be relationally distant. Right? You can be in the same place, and yet you can be so far away. You can sit in church every Sunday and be far from God's heart. You can sing all the songs, hear all the sermons, know all the Christian lingo and vernacular, and still neglect intimacy with Him. Jesus rebuked people, actually, who honored Him with their lips while their hearts were far from Him. Right? Didn't He do that? See, proximity isn't merely where your body is, it's where your heart is. Your proximity to Him is not being at church, though that's a good thing, right? Be in church. But man, it's about where your heart is. Because you can sit in the same room with the fire, but not feel the heat. Amen? Hmm. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." There's a progression there. It's beholding and then becoming, right? Beholding and then becoming. What you behold, you will become. That's why proximity matters. Because what you put yourself around, right? You all know this. Who you're hanging around with, what you're listening to, what you're putting your eyes on. You stay around bitterness long enough, you become bitter. You stay around negativity long enough, you become negative. You hang around doubt, fear, and unbelief long enough, but you stay near Jesus, Jesus begins to shape you. His thoughts become your thoughts. His priorities become your priorities. Amen? His heart becomes your heart. See, the Spirit was given. The Spirit was poured out so that we could have that boldness and that power for us to go out and be what? Witnesses. Amen? See, the Spirit was preparation for us to go out. The presence gets in you so that the presence can get through you. Amen? This message came from when Pastor Mark was talking about faith that really works, and he read the scripture, Romans 8:11, and Christina has even given the testimony that this scripture came alive to her. We were talking about these things, and Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you." The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit lives on the inside of you. That right there, that is covenant reality. That is the covenant that you have with God, that I will give you my very Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. But when you know He's in you, what do you have to do? You still have to pursue Him. You still have to draw near to Him, talk to Him, listen to Him, stay near Him. Amen? So, as I close here, just get a picture of this. This is the story. In Eden, we saw that God walked with humanity. Amen? He walked with Adam and Eve. In the tabernacle, we see that God dwelled among His people. In Bethlehem, when Jesus came, He came to us in the flesh. Amen? And at Pentecost, God came to dwell where? In His people. And now, God wants to flow through you. Amen? You have the Spirit of God in you. So with, among, in, through. And I want to add another word in here. Toward. Amen? Because the Christian life is about us moving toward God and moving toward the lost, the dying, the unbelieving. We've got to make a motion toward something. Amen? Moving continually toward Him. See, God moved toward us in grace, and we move toward Him in pursuit. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. See, maybe up until this point that has been your prayer. Maybe it's been, "God, I don't feel You. God, come closer." Maybe instead we need to be praying, "Holy Spirit, wake me up to Your presence. Wake me up to Your presence. Wake me up to what I carry. Wake me up to Your voice. Wake me up to Your leading. Wake me up to Your power in my life. Wake me up to Your love." Wake me up to the reality that you are not only with me, but you took up residence in me. Now, your responsibility is to draw near. Amen? To come closer. To put down the distractions. To turn down the noise. To open up your heart to Him. To seek His face. Because there is a vast difference between knowing that God is in the room and being close enough to feel the effects of His presence in your life. Guys, the fire is already in the room. Amen? The fire has been made available. It's burning. It's hot. Maybe you need to come closer to feel its warmth, to feel the effects of it in your life. Come closer. Amen? Let it get on you. Let it get in you. And then let it get through you. Amen? Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is present. The power that's available to heal, to deliver, to set free. God, that we may walk in boldness, knowing that we have access through your Son Jesus. Knowing that you are drawing near to us because you not only came to be with us, but you came to live on the inside so that we could be witnesses for you, so that we could go out with Holy Spirit power to change our surroundings, to change the world around us. The fire is burning. We're coming closer. We're coming closer. We're coming closer. Until the fire is in us and on us and moving through us and getting on our neighbor and getting on our household and getting on our community. Glory to God, to see those that are lost and dying come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that's available to live on the inside of them. So, Heavenly Father, we give you glory. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Pastor Mark.
Can you shout amen?
Amen? Amen.
Praise God. Just real quickly here, praise God. Thank you, Caleb. You know, my life, drawing close to God, radically changed my life. Everything I learned after that, everything about being filled with the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the authority of the believer and everything I learned about faith and everything I learned about healing and everything I learned on and on and on, all came after I first, in my own heart, drew close to God. So thank you for that, Caleb. Praise God. Thank you. And thank you for our very special gift, the McCartys this morning. Glory to God. Amen. Menorah, I think, sent me a text a while ago. Greeting us, Menorah. If you happen to be watching, God bless you. We love you so much. When we first met the McCartys, they were half gypsy, half hippie, and 100% sold out to God. They were the Jesus Revolution movement. You know, you saw that. We were, you know, that was the McCartys, and they were just willing to do anything for God. And they went overseas, and they would travel. You know, those early days, they would travel 6 and 7 hours, break down 12 times on the way. Daniel's underneath there fixing the old bus, and to show a gospel film, and then just give an altar call at the end. But I'm telling you, as the years went by, God just began to promote them. This was very obvious to me on the other, to promote them and promote them and promote them and promote them and promote them. They just scratched the surface. They have done a tremendous work for the Lord. Bible schools and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people saved and trained and ministers and churches started. Just incredible, incredible. Glory to God. And so we are, sometimes I thought, we don't see Daniel Menorah, but y'all were, Y'all are busy. Praise God. So amen. Sure.
We really started with you and Margaret, and it's a marvel. You know, this is the Lord's doing. It's a marvel in our eyes. And it's still, like when we first met that farm, that farm didn't have an ounce of insulation, you know, so hot in the summer, you could throw a cat through the walls with the cracks. My mission at night was just to chop enough wood, split it, and throw it. We thought we were doing good because we found something called a fireplace insert, and we could shove all the wood into the fireplace, 100-year-old home, and I had to close the door and kick it shut so we'd stay warm. And I'm just telling you that the conditions of when we first met compared to the blessings of God allowing us to go, the dream came true, and dreams do come true because we get to see you again. And you're a part of this amazing dream. And yes, in 5 different nations, the Lord's let us be active. And by the way, our oldest son, Dan, left 2 days ago with a large team from Chicago. And he was on his way to Malawi. This is his 8th trip. They do wells and stuff, you know, large church team. But they had airplane trouble, 51 hours. Plane broke down, just trying to get there. So appreciate they're there now in Malawi. Really a tough place. If you remember Dan, pray for that their plane can get fixed and get back.
Amen. Even this house he's talking about, unbelievable story, the farmhouse, because when they sold it, you know, what was it, the polo people out here?
They wanted Coca-Cola. Well, the Lord, I got to keep my mouth shut on that one because the Lord, that farm was such, it was 7 acres. They were a little beautiful, but it was all broken down, 100-year-old mess of a farm, right? I won't say it in negative sense. You know what property is all about. Just like you can't stop. You bush hog it once and 7 more times. You got to do it again in the rain. But the farm, it was 7 acres. And the Lord said, I'll give you double for your trouble. You've been faithful taking care of a little. And what do you see I'm going to do for you? And God gave us so much blessing financially from that, the bandabouts. But he did it. And the thing down in Chattanooga, and he just said, I'm only going to do this if you go overseas and get out of town and never tell anybody what I'm giving you for it. I can't tell you.
Amen. Praise God. Prayer starts back this Wednesday night, corporate prayer, after our regular hour of power service. And you're invited, and we pray for people like the McCartys. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed. Thank you, Lord.